TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 113, and I am Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Susie from Sherman Oaks.
And Allison from Tarzana.
Woohoo! All right, next week we're going to give you more comprehensive upfronts report. This week we have so many shows that are finaleing out that we're just going to go on to the shows, except for the correction from last week. I said Gilded Lilies made the cut for the pilots. I was incorrect. John Barrowman said that he got the news that his show was not picked up.
Aww.
So, sad face. Mm-hmm. The other big news is that Dan Harmon was fired from Community. If you don't know who Dan Harmon is, he is the executive producer and showrunner of the show and pretty much the voice of Community. And we only have 13 episodes left, so let's fire the showrunner. Okay, sure.
Also, the fact that they didn't tell him.
Yeah.
That he found out via, like, Nikki Fink or Hollywood Reporter or something.
Just seriously?
Like, that's what he says on his letter that they've posted.
His Tumblr.
He turned the phone on, and that's when he found out. I was like, really? Like,
they never called him. Sony never called him at all.
I don't understand why they're even doing 13 episodes if they're not going to keep the create. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
It could be a train wreck.
Well, we keep wondering because, you know, we've heard all season that Harmon and Chevy Chase have been butting heads. And did it come down to something like Chevy Chase was going to walk
if they
is weird because Chevy Chase's role on the show in the
first season,
he's the name. I totally understand. But at this point, he doesn't. Pierce Hawthorne doesn't do that much, and you don't necessarily need him. So I'm surprised they would stick with Chevy Chase. And again, this is my speculation. I don't know if I'm right. But that's the only thing we had heard before. So
yeah.
I will say his letter that was posted was very fun. I mean, like, I'm totally bummed and everything, but I mean, his letter, there was a lot of humor in it and stuff, like, you know, as a good writer is. But yeah, I mean, totally bummed me out. Like, I don't. And interestingly, because we'll get to it with Community, but yeah, I don't know. I think fans of Community will maybe now consider it a 3-season show.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess we can see. So.
All right. Yeah. That's all the news I have for right now, other than the upfronts. Like I said, we'll go over that next week more in depth. So let's hurry up and go on with the shows. We will be on the timer, except for maybe Game of Thrones, because we do get very eloquacious. Is that the word?
Is that the word? Eloquent? You mean long-winded?
Yes.
I don't know if that's the word.
I don't know if that's the word. I don't know if that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So Game of Thrones.
Yes, let's start up with Game of Thrones. And so what do you guys think?
Well, I've been mixed on Game of Thrones this season because I felt like, I haven't read the book, but I felt like this whole season is basically about getting to this war about people trying to unseat, you know, Joffrey. So you've got all these kingdoms and we keep going back and forth. And I've been like, I just really want to get to the action. And not this episode, but the episode before, we actually had some action, but I thought the episode was okay. This episode, which was mostly just the characters talking and scheming and basically just seeing where they stand, I actually thought was really good. I really liked this episode a lot. It wasn't, strangely too, and we'll see if you guys agree, a lot of times I feel like Game of Thrones relies a lot on Peter Dinklage because he's really charming and the character's really good. This episode, about halfway through, I was like, wow, you know, this is a pretty good episode, and they haven't had to rely on Tyrion, like, as much. And he does come later, and it's a good scene, but the episode in general, I think, is good, really just more for the whole cast in general. It's not really like, oh, Peter Dinklage saved it. I thought it was all pretty good. Like,
no, I thought it was balanced very, very well between the various characters, and I thought it kind of moved the story along. And a lot of the chess pieces were moving around the board and getting to their various places very, very well. What I thought was nice was the character interaction was really good.
Yep, me too.
Especially, you know, you've got Tywin and Arya. I love
it was awesome. Yeah, me too.
I think that it's really kind of interesting how they play together so well, because you wouldn't think that the two of them would have that much to talk about as characters. But whenever they have, whenever they interact, their scenes are just really, really fascinating. And I was loving their interaction together. And it's kind of interesting that Tywin would feel that he could confide somehow.
Right.
And the servant girl.
I think part of it is because he feels like, also, you feel like you can fight in somebody if you can kill them instantly if necessary. You know what I'm saying? It's not
well,
like,
that's true.
It's
right.
Almost
if he
like,
spills anything to her, he can get rid of her quickly.
Right. And also, it's almost like a pet relationship, except for...
What? But I think...
Except that he really thinks she's smart.
Yeah, I was about to
and
say...
And he really
yeah.
likes how smart she is. Mm-hmm. But I do think the fact that she's expendable... is why he's telling her all the things that he's telling her.
Yeah.
Could be, right.
But also the sense that he feels that she does understand what he's saying to her.
Right.
That's why he feels compelled to say these things to her, because he wouldn't feel that he could say any of these things to his actual men.
Well, we've seen his actual so, men are
not very
kinda,
bright.
Not very bright, no. Yeah, like so...
And they just sort of stare at him blankly.
Also, I like the way the episode tended to go back where we're seeing Jon Snow and... is she a walker?
She's a wildling.
The wildling.
A wildling.
And you've got this fin- you've got this great... I don't know where they're shooting it, but that huge snowy backdrop is so gorgeous. And then you, so you've got that, this very majestic, huge setting. And then you go to this intimate... whatever room Tywin in.
Castle in Harrenhal.
Yeah, and then, but it's great. They're both serving their purpose really well. You know, you get this huge scene, and then these,
one thing
like,
I do want to talk about is that the scene you were talking about with Tyrion and
Cersei.
Oh my God! Like that kind of talk about intimate conversations. Like,
oh yeah,
I get the feeling that they've been siblings, you know, their whole lives. Never had that kind of conversation ever.
Ever.
I agree.
Well, just by his reaction to her, it's like normal people, you know, he would have gone over and put his arms around
right.
her. Just, like standing there, like, what do
her.
I do?
That's
good.
Well, what's great is he looks like he wants to pat her on the back.
He looked like he
moved up to her like he was going to, and then he thought
and then didn't know what to do.
And although, then she looks at him like, are you about to touch me?
Right, yeah, she very much has a back off, like, we had her moment, it's gone. Although I will say, my favorite Cersei scene was with Sansa. That was the most, I felt like, honest we've ever heard Cersei. When she's just like, you know, I will love, you know, something about loving Joffrey. And she's like, well, you can try. You know, just like, oh. Like, that was, I really liked that scene. Because I always want more of Cersei. Ever since the Joffrey becomes king thing, I really feel like she hasn't gotten as much to do. And I thought that was really great. But I did like the scene with Tyrion, too.
Yeah,
but I really thought
the
Sansa scene
was
really... The
one with Sansa, she tells her, the only thing you can love is your children.
Right,
like,
right.
Can't love... Not necessarily going to love your husband, but you can love your children. And that was good advice. But
yeah.
And I liked her panic. Though, in the book, I actually think they toned down her panic for her realizing that she just had her period or whatever.
Yes.
In the book, she like almost sets her. She actually sets her room,
sets
on,
the room
fire
on fire,
so that they won't find out.
But then, how do they find out?
They still find out.
Oh,
it was like it's still. They still end up finding out. But I think that this was toned like that. Just was like wow. Like that was kind of crazy. So this they toned it down a little more, which I thought was good. Yeah, that was a good middle ground.
So the end of the episode is Greyjoy is hunting down Bran and that other kid that I never know his name.
Rickon.
And at the end, they bring out the old man who I forgot his name is, but he's the one who's
Maester Luwin.
Right, and basically he sees
Lannister.
That these two charcoal bodies that look like they might be children.
They're children.
So I think we're supposed to be like, oh my God, did he kill like Bran and Rickon? I keep thinking no, even though the show's good at like killing off someone like Ned Stark, I feel like if you killed Bran off before we see where, and actually Rickon, don't they both have dreams, or is it just Bran?
Actually, they both do.
Feels a little like
that's right. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I feel like well that would
the thing
be,
is my
yeah.
feelings were. I mean, I have not. I've been deliberately not reading the books.
Oh, me too.
But
so
my
I don't
feelings
know.
Are if they had been Bran and Rickon, they also would have had their two servants with them as well. We would have seen four bodies.
But they wouldn't have necessarily brought those bodies back. Like, who cares if they bring back the servants? And Hodor is freaking huge. You're not going to
drag him. Interesting. My brother who watches the show, hasn't read it, he said that he thinks it's the two kids that are at the place. Because he says that when, remember when they're going there, Bran says something like, oh, we know these people or something. Yeah. So he's like, oh, it's probably the two kids. And so I was like,
that was my feeling.
Yeah, I think he's right. Only because I can't see them. I mean, I don't actually love Bran that much as a character, but I can't see that. I'm like, nah. So I don't know. But I mean, I guess we'll find out soon. So, well, you know. Libya.
Yes.
But I don't. Oh, it's Susie. Susie, you read the book too,
we're
right?
We're being very quiet right now.
Right. So I guess we'll find out. Although I gotta say that, like, you know, anytime you have young actors and they could be 20 something or 5 or whatever, you're always risking that. There's always that risk of like what the range of the actor is, and sometimes it works. Like I think the woman who plays Khaleesi, like I think. Wait, is she the Khaleesi?
She is. That's her title, so it's not
that's
the.
Her title.
So Daenerys.
Yes, that's her name.
I think she's kind of limited as an actress, but it works. Like
I think she's limited.
I think she's someone. I've heard she's. This is her first big role. Yeah, I think she's a little. But it's okay. Like, I mean, I don't think the guy who plays Greyjoy
can
pulls
do.
Off.
He can't pull it off.
Yeah, and so he and because so much of the end is dependent upon what he's doing and everything, I'm like, he's still to me. I mean,
of all,
I just don't know. Regardless of
who you think he killed two children,
which is terrible, and
set them on fire.
Right.
So regardless,
this is a bad thing. And even if they're not the two kids that we're supposed to think, they're doing
right.
And his
he's so weaselly anyway. I mean, I still, every time I look at him, I just want to punch him in the nose. Because he just looks...
He does have that face.
Like he is going to be the kind of guy that would sneak in and try and do this to impress his dad and, you know, snub his nose at his sister. And he's like a big kid with like a hissy fit. And I mean, we all saw how inept he was with cutting off someone's head last
time. Actually, I like that though. I thought that was...
But that's just it. So every time I see him, I go, God,
well, you know, leave it to Game of Thrones, I think, to tell you, to show you exactly how hard it is.
That was great. Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Well, what I was going to say was that his big reason for doing everything that he's done is he's like, I'd rather people fear me than think that he's incompetent. But I'm like... Dude, they don't fear you. They hate you. I was like, you missed that mark.
Yeah,
he missed the mark.
Like the Hound.
Right. People
or the
fear.
Mountain.
People
fear
him.
Like,
All right. So we've gone on. As I knew, we weren't going to make the timer issue for Game of Thrones. But I gave us time for that. All right. So now, from now on, we are on the timer. So let's move on to Once Upon a Time. It was their season finale because they got renewed. And it ends with the big...
ends with a lot of purple smoke.
It ends... Basically, what happens is two things happen. The curse is broken. Everybody gets their memory back. And then everyone looks at the queen and like, you should run. Which was awesome. Like, I was like, oh...
Because I've only seen the show for the first half. You can't leave the town.
Right, but the other thing is nobody has their memory and nobody remembers who they are.
But once that moment happens, can she escape the town or no?
I don't know. She just literally just ran.
They actually never really addressed that. They had kind of been expecting that, you know, they'd get their memory back and they'd all go back to the fairy tale world. And they got their memory back, but the fairy tale world didn't materialize.
Right.
They didn't say whether or not they could actually leave the town.
And then Rumpelstiltskin, of course, has another plan, and he launches another spell, and that basically brings magic to Storybrooke. So everybody has their memory back, and there's magic back. Cuts. That's the end.
Hmm.
Once everybody got their memory back, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then they were like, okay, magic is back. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad, because the witch, of course, has the most magic.
Oh.
So... now they have their memory back. They were going to do the whole burn the witch at the stake kind of deal, and now she's got her magic, and so now that's bad.
So not so much, but...
Right.
Was it a good finale?
I thought so. I think everything kind of came together. It was pretty much what you were waiting for.
The trouble with this show, you know, it's just written so unevenly, and the thing with the finale was that it felt like everything that you'd been wanting to happen throughout the course of the show, but that just they kind of spent so many episodes just meandering around and doing nothing with, was just all shoved together into 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so it was like a lot of knees bent running around and a lot of, you know, everything just crammed together into one tight little space. And it would have been really so much nicer if they'd spread all of this out and spent time on it and developed these ideas more. And then, you know, really spent time on this in the finale instead of just cramming it all together like, oh, she believes now. Oh, she's doing this. Oh, she's doing that. And,
I feel like that's what season two is going to be. I feel like that's where they're going. But I do agree with you. We've been waiting for Emma to believe forever. And
Little kid still around?
Yeah.
Because I saw in some clip he got shot or poisoned or something.
Yeah, because he wanted
that's what triggers her to suddenly believe.
Because he told her, it's like, my mom gave you this apple turnover because it's poison. She's trying to kill you. And she's like, don't be crazy, kid. People don't, like, poison each other.
So
he eats it. And then she's like, holy crap, she tried to poison me.
So how did they get, is he better?
Yeah, the whole true love's kiss thing. His mom kissed him.
Oh my god.
And she really loved him, so that
becomes like a Game of Thrones incest?
No, not that kind of kiss. It's not that kind of kiss. Get your mind out of the gutter. Alright, so
I have a different version of true love, apparently.
Yes.
Anyway, so I thought it was a pretty good finale. Allison did not so much. So let's move on. So that was a thumbs up and a thumb sideways, I think.
Sideways. Not down, sideways.
Next up, let's talk about Eureka. We forgot to talk about it last week. Apologies. But this week's was the big body swap episode where basically everybody was swapping bodies with Jack.
It's science fiction. They have to do the body swap.
They have to. I know they're obligated. Yeah. But of course, it makes the whole awkwardness of all the weird relationships that are going on right now even more awkward. But that was good.
Very good.
Body swap episodes are only as good as the actors who are in the show and how capable they are of playing each other. And in this show, they lucked out because, you know, Colin Ferguson certainly is brilliant when it comes to imitating the other
performers on the show.
Watching him play Fargo was absolutely hilarious.
He did the little frowny thing, which was great. Fargo playing Jack was not quite right, but I mean,
I thought he got some of the
some of them down.
Expressions and the body language when he's walking was hilarious.
Oh yeah, and they switched body. It's like one person thought he was playing laser tag, and then he jumps into a body with an actual gun and starts shooting at people, and it was pretty good. Though the main stuff was the whole, what is it? Let's see here. It's not a triangle. What is that? Is that a I don't know what that shape of whatever that relationship is, but it's the whole Allison, Jack, and Joe and Zane. But Jack and Joe were together in a virtual reality, but they weren't together in reality. But that's only in two of the people's heads, but it wasn't actually in Jack or Joe's head, which is so. But everybody kept acting like they were cheating on their people, but they weren't. But now they've got it in their head, so now they're thinking, huh, maybe we should be together. And I was like, oh my God, just stop it. But then they actually have the conversation, but they have the conversation with the wrong people because they're body swapped.
Yes.
So,
which I thought was going to be a challenge, but they cleaned that up at the end, which I liked.
Well, the whole Allison and Joe conversation when Allison is inside Jack. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Allison is in Jack and Joe actually has a conversation of, what if we did go out? How would that be? Maybe we should just talk about it and admit it and move on. And instead of just saying, yeah, okay, sure, Allison, of course, is super jealous. Is like, nope, you had no chance with me at all. Never felt a thing for you. And I was just like, wow, okay, that's weird. I mean, I would have thought, and then it never comes out that she did it. That never gets revealed that she was actually Jack when they had
that
conversation. Yeah. So that's, I don't know if that's going to come out later. Like, I don't know. I think, I kind of feel like they've dealt with it. Except for, I'm afraid that Jack's proposal to Allison was rushed-esque, if you can consider 4 years chasing after her rushed. But I feel like he did the proposal to get rid of all the awkwardness of everything else. That's, you know, that was my impression.
He probably did, but I looked at it as, you know, again, near the end, there was that whole thing about, okay, he's done so much of this body swapping that his brain is basically about to fry. So, you know, he basically is near death at the end, which happens in every other science fiction show, every other episode.
Right.
But, you know, so here he is in jeopardy again, almost dying. And so he tells her when, you know, just before he proposes, he basically, I think it was his way as well as the show's way of saying, okay, we've done this whole triangle-y, quadrangle thing, whatever it is that they've done since The Matrix. And it's really their way of cleaning it up by saying, here's a really good chance. He basically said, you know, I almost lost you. You know, I was almost gone and lost you and the kids. And he's like, and I don't want that to happen. I want to be with you forever. You know, and right. So they've kind of
she
used
was
that.
She was the only thing he was thinking about.
Yeah, you know, so they use that as kind of a gentle way of moving it in towards that direction to say, okay, let's close all the, you know, the who's going to be with who's and who feels bad about it stuff. And then just it gave him a step to go forward. And since this is the last season and we're running into the final episodes,
yeah.
You know, this is probably where they want to take it for us.
We've got about eight episodes to go at this point. I don't think that they're going to make it more complicated than it is.
Yeah, that's true. I've been watching the show forever. I do want them together, so I'm happy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on.
Yep.
All right, next up, let's talk about the finale of Smash.
Allison, you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I thought overall it was good. I enjoyed it, but I mean the thing that I guess I found really frustrating was that I don't know that I was expecting something really different, but you know, just having them go with Karen at the end, you know, and then building it up like it was going to be some big surprise, and then it just turns out to be her. It was that part disappointed me. I mean, I don't think of her as being more talented than Ivy. In fact, quite the opposite. I think Ivy is a lot more talented than she is. And so seeing her just end up at the end and for the lame reason that Derek gives, you know, that, oh, but she's the one with something special. It's like, no, she's not. It was just, and especially after she throws a fit and walks off at the end, at that point in any professional production, they would have just let her go. They wouldn't have gone chasing after her. That whole thing was just so contrived and ridiculous, and I just felt like, you know, if it hadn't been written into the show from the beginning that she was going to be the star, she wouldn't have been the star, and that just annoyed
me. I don't know. I guess I disagree in the sense that okay, don't get me wrong. The woman who plays Ivy is actually is a Broadway star. You're absolutely right. However, I guess from a television story point of view, I don't find the character of Ivy, I find her too literal. It's too easy that she's Marilyn Monroe, so I don't really root for her. I'm not saying nothing against the actress. I'm saying her physical appearance, the way she does Marilyn Monroe, I'm always like, well, she's kind of the too obvious choice. And so for me, Catherine McVie playing the Karen one, I'm like, well, I don't really love that either, but at least it's not as obvious as the other one. And so that's why, I mean, and I don't feel like I have a huge stake in this, but like, I guess that's why I was more okay with that. My problem more with the episode was more the side stuff, you know, the wedding, the engagement ring, and I don't really care about that stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that's the things where I'm like, oh, who cares? But overall, I'll watch the next season, and you know what, I really hope, I'm sure this isn't going to happen, but you talking about the whole firing thing. The guy who was playing the assistant that Angelica Houston finally fired.
Oh, thank God.
Like,
yes,
I hate that character. Like, because
I was so glad.
I mean, because, you're talking about being professional. I'm just like, there's no way that guy would have lasted this long, you know?
Yes,
like, so,
yes,
but of course, when he leaves, he's like, this isn't the last of me. I'm like, oh, really?
We're just going to get like. Don't say that.
Yeah. So, but overall, like, I mean, I like the show enough.
So you're going to watch it next season?
Yeah, I'll watch it next season.
Allison,
so.
You going to watch it?
Oh, I will too. Yeah, it's just I'm hoping that maybe they'll start watching their own show.
Yeah! Well, it's the show.
And realize that they kind of made a mistake with the whole Karen thing.
The show.
Because really the thing is, it was predictable to me that Karen was going to end up on top because it follows the old Busby Berkeley format of out-of-town girl becomes the big star.
That's true,
you know?
That's true.
And that's, so yeah. You knew that she was going to do that at the end.
All right.
And that's why it kind of bugged
me. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah,
okay.
We gotta move on. Next up, we're going to talk about Glee, which we haven't talked about in a little while, so...
Glee was a two-hour, if I could start, Glee was a two-hour, well, it was basically two episodes. The first segment, I had, like, so much potential because, basically, Tina, who usually Sue calls other Asian, she basically has this thing where she's like, you know what, I'm tired of being in Rachel's shadow, I want to, like, do my own thing. And she's with Kurt and...
Blaine,
and she falls and she hits her head like in a shopping mall, and every character gets
body swapped.
And I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. This is fantastic. Like, Sue and Schuster are flipped, and Santana and the kid in the wheelchair are flipped, and like I was just like, oh, this is gonna be really funny. And I did like that, but it was only like one segment, and then it goes back to the rest of the episode, which was okay, but I don't know. I really thought that had a lot of promise, and it disappointed me that they didn't follow through completely.
Really? Because I had the opposite reaction. I thought it was cute for as long as it lasted.
Oh, okay.
And then I was really grateful that it didn't keep going through the whole episode, because I thought, you know, this is supposed to be about how they go to nationals. And if this is going to continue on for like an entire hour, or God help us, the next 2 hours, this is just going to be really, really hard to sit through.
Well, I figured it wouldn't be for 2 hours.
It turned out to just be, you know, oh, her little delusion when she hit her head. And after they went through like a song and a little bit of chatting, it ended. And I thought, that's good. That's as long as it was funny. And now we're on to other stuff.
Okay.
And so I thought that was perfect.
And as far as the big nationals episode, is that the first time they've actually won?
Nationals?
No, they actually won the first year. Well, they didn't go to nationals.
They didn't go to nationals. They won sectional.
They won regionals.
But they never went to nationals.
This one's because they won the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. So,
And then they lost last year, and then they won this time.
And the
funny thing is that I thought they did better last year than this year. I love the fact that they won, but I thought they had the weaker performance.
Yeah, I mean, normally I'm more of a fan of people not winning. Like, that's why I like Rocky and things. I usually like the moral victory more than the actual win. Friday Night Lights, another example. Like, but in this case, I agree. The show's been on for 3 seasons, and I was like, all right,
they needed to win.
Yeah, no, you're
nice
right.
To see them do it.
I agree.
I really would have liked to have seen them actually give the kids a performance that I thought deserved.
Yeah,
that
I would agree.
And they didn't. Next to the other school, I felt that they didn't.
Well, also,
the other school was given a better performance.
Yeah, and I like, is it Unique? Is that the...
Unique,
I really like Unique. Unique is a guy
in drag. Yeah, they've hinted that they're going to bring
really
that
good
character to their school next
year.
Ah,
yeah, because I really like that character, so...
Yeah, he's fun.
I like seeing Whoopi Goldberg, you know, good use. I liked her, basically kind of giving Rachel another chance and everything. But yeah, no, so wait, next week then, because they've already won, I guess... Next week, the finale is basically we're saying goodbye to the characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
graduation,
graduation stuff. Yep.
How many people do we lose? Rachel.
Rachel,
Finn.
Kurt.
Kurt.
Yeah, Finn. Puck.
It's like almost the whole cast.
Oh, Puck had a good moment. I thought Puck and Beast, I thought that was a good moment.
That was awesome.
Yes.
That was like probably one of my favorite
that was
scenes
a good
in
scene
the history of the show.
That yeah,
was
that was really. Buck
that,
really
and
breaks down and everything.
Song.
It was a
fantastic.
Pretty. Oh, wait, question. I know we got to wrap it up, but question. How do you feel about the whole Beast being Beast domestic abuse thing with her husband?
You know, I really didn't like that. I love the fact that they actually had her find someone to be with and love. And when they actually turned it into a domestic abuse thing, I thought, you know, there really wasn't a need for it. They wanted some kind of little after school special moment.
I agree.
And picking her out to do it, I guess, was convenient because they don't have that many attached characters in the
right
show, but it seemed I just hated having her be the one.
Well, it's weird. No, I totally agree with you. I was emotional because I liked the character and the actress, but I agree. I felt very manipulated. I was like, oh,
yeah,
come on. No, so.
Like,
but yeah,
we didn't need to do that,
right,
just, you know, to have that moment in
okay,
the show.
Okay, wrapping that one up. So, thumbs up?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
all right.
Definitely.
All right, next up, let's talk about Suburgatory, and we'll do this really quickly.
Sorry, what was the plot? I already forgot it.
Exactly. This was the first episode that I actually disliked the main character.
I don't remember what the plot is.
The plot was basically...
Oh, is it Mother's Day?
Yes.
And she is frustrated about her because she's never really thought of her mom.
Well,
actually, I kind of like... You didn't like that idea? I thought that
was... Well, I like the idea that she never really paid attention to Mother's Day, except that this town
blows... And in this
blows
town,
it,
it's
blows,
all about Mother's
yeah,
Day,
they blow
right
it up to insane proportions.
Right.
It made me feel like the gifts I gave to my mother were cheap. You know, so it was insane.
So I did like that.
That part was good, but what I didn't like was at the very end of the episode, she, you know, like her whole thing through the episode, she doesn't talk to her dad. Her dad keeps asking if she's okay. She doesn't
right
get the internship. She still doesn't talk to him. She says she's fine, but she's not. She gets upset about the whole Dallas wants her daughter and not her. So she's like upset about that. But she still doesn't talk to her dad. And then her grandmother shows up.
Oh, I forgot about the grandmother.
And then instead of thinking, oh, great, I've never seen my grandmother. This is awesome. She's thinking, I want to get out of Chad's with and away from her dad. And I just was angry at her.
I don't remember thinking that. Is that what she says?
She says, I saw my grandmother and she's thinking, this is the first time I've ever seen my granddaughter. And I'm thinking, this is the way out. That's what she says. And to me, that feels like a betrayal to her father, because he has done the best he could with
his life.
You know, and it just made me just kind of angry with her.
I would agree with you then. I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's a good point.
But, you know, the episode itself was a pretty good episode. It was funny. But, and I do understand why she's kind of mad at her dad, because he just moved this pregnant woman into their house, who is crazy.
Yeah. I think Alicia Silverstone has done a decent job. I haven't seen her act in a long time.
She's doing the character well. It's just that as a teenager, I would hate her moving in too. So I understand why she's mad that her father moved her in. And that whole relationship is really awkward.
And you can see Alan Tudyk's point of view too, of like, because remember she freaks out. They're taking you to the hospital, right? And then he wants to come, and he's like, well, maybe you should hang back. And he's just like, do you really think I'm going to do that? That's my child.
Right.
And I was like, well, yeah, of course. Why would he? No, he's not going to hang back.
Well, the reason that she went into labor was because of him, though, because, like, all of those, they were being crazy.
Right, right.
So they're causing stress and distressing the baby.
Right.
So, yeah, I see his point as well. But anyway, it's like, the episode was just, it was kind of funny, but this was the first episode I just liked her.
Yeah, I see. All right.
Next up, let's talk about Modern Family.
Does anybody watch it? Me and Libya do, but
no, nobody else.
I watch it, but again, I'm behind like 3 episodes.
Oh, okay.
So this one was they usually every finale they tend to do something where there's some big, like the first season, which was awesome, was the finale where they're gonna take a family portrait. Right. They're all in white and everything. I forgot the second season, but this one
was...
Wasn't
it the Hawaii vacation or the birthday or something in Hawaii?
Yeah, I think you're right, 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 right. And that was good. And then this one was Alex, who the teacher she has a crush on always calls her something else.
So they're doing the live...
They're doing I've never seen this in real life, but a lot of schools do this where they take a painting and then they make a live portrait. So this one is a Norman Rockwell dinner scene.
Right, but they're all fighting.
Right, but it's a clever... I was like, that's kind of a cool way to end the season and everything. I don't really know if I, like, love the whole episode, especially for, like, this is the end of Modern Family first season for the summer. But I like that idea. I liked getting to that point where they're bickering, and then, like...
They have to hold freeze
for 90 seconds. And
they can't do it.
Right, they can't do it. Like, that was pretty good. But the episode itself, I don't know how much I laughed.
I thought that some of the conflicts were legitimate, because I think that Cam really does not know how to raise a child. Like, every week he has a new idea. Like, every single week he's like, this is the most brilliant parenting idea ever, and it's something insane.
Right.
And I feel like they have screwed this child up. So the fact that a mother who has 3 kids, now granted, she hasn't raised them great, but they're not psychopaths.
Right, 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 right.
So, you know, people have been trying to give him advice, and he's like, I don't want to hear it. You just think I'm a bad parent. And they're like, no, I'm just trying to help you. And so he's always insulted and stuff. So I thought that that was really, it all kind of came to a head. What was Jay's big argument?
Oh. Wait, was Jay the sandwich?
Yes.
So he's got a terrible sandwich, but he's named after it.
Right.
It's
his name. Well, it was the whole thing about, it was the first time that, what's her name? Gloria. First time Gloria ever felt jealousy. That was so great. She's like, what is this feeling?
Right. Everybody knows the waitress for her. Right. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. And that the waitress was closer to Jay than her and knew all his secrets and information and stuff. And she was jealous and didn't know what it felt like. She's like, oh my, I feel so sorry for my sisters.
That was great. That was a good line. That's what this feels like. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was all pretty good. So, I agree. I like the episode. Me too, of course. Pretty good. All right, moving on. Next up is the season finale of Person of Interest, because it's going to be back, and it better be back, because that was awesome. The one thing I didn't know is that, you know, in the opening when they show the people, they've got the little white squares around them, and then Jim Caviezel has like a yellow square around him. What I didn't realize is the machine identifies people that know about the machine in yellow. So if you ever see someone walk, when they do the shots, they show somebody walking across, and they're surrounded in a yellow square, it means they know about the machine. Which was a clue for this episode, because Amy Acker had a yellow square around her.
That's interesting.
Was Person of Interest this full season? Was this 22 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allison, did you like, overall, did you like this show too?
Yeah, I started out not being a huge fan of it, actually. It was kind of... kind of difficult getting into the show. But as it went along, I think it got stronger and stronger. It started really, you know, focusing more on the myth arc behind the
machine,
you know, machine and all of that. And that's really where the crux of the show is. That's really what makes it interesting. The more they focus on that and not just, you know, the standard, you know, person of interest of the week kind of thing. That's where the show gets interesting. And of course that was what the whole finale was about. And that's what made it just a really great finale episode.
And Amy Acker does what she does best, which is the fake out, which is she was basically super innocent chick. You know, you think she's the one that you have to save and everything. And then at the end, she flips and is Illyria. She basically flips and she's super evil. And I was like, only Amy Acker can pull that off that well. Like, where you absolutely believe that she's innocent. And then when she flips and is evil, you absolutely believe she's evil.
It's like, of course it was her.
Right. It was just like,
of course.
Yeah, it's so, and she's like, oh, I was an idiot for not seeing that. And then what was awesome about it was Finch was like, you put a hit on yourself? He's like, you paid $500,000 to put a hit on yourself? And she's like, yeah, it was a trust fall. I had to, she's like, I had to know you guys would catch me. And I was like, wow. That was impressive. So it the end of the scene, and the last shot was so great because Finch has been kidnapped. And Reese has no idea. Basically, Reese can't. Like I said, this is like Batman, where Batman is split in half into two people. And Reese basically can't do anything without Finch. Like, he's nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
He's lost.
He's lost. And absolutely. So he goes to Finch's office and he looks around at all the computers and he just stands there looking like a lost little puppy. And then he goes to the phone that he's noticed that Finch goes to get the number sometimes. And he looks at the camera. So basically, he's talking to the machine. And he's like, I've lost him. He's like, you owe him. Help me find him. And then the phone rings. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, we didn't talk about how Fusco and...
Oh, right. How they find out about each other.
What's her name?
Carter.
I'm blanking on her name.
Carter.
Now know each other, yes.
Yeah, that was the whole big thing, is they were both working for Reese and Finch, and they didn't know it. So they thought that they were working against each other. So their big reveal. Oh, it was awesome. Was they come and rescue Reese, right? And so they're all mad at him for keeping a secret that they were all working together. And he's like, yeah, we'll get a beer later and my treat. I was like, seriously? Like, that was so great. So yeah, thumbs up. I really like Personal Interest. So I can't wait for next season. Next up, we're going to talk about Community. And they had
three episodes,
but... You know, I don't think we're going to talk about all three episodes necessarily. Let's talk. The first one was great. I thought.
That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Like, the whole. Like, if you've ever played a video game.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
It was everything that you've
just
ever imagined.
The respawning and just the 8-bit audio and, like. Yeah,
it was awesome.
And
the villain.
Credits. They even did the opening credits in 8-bit. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I could not stop laughing every time. Because Troy kept bouncing.
Awesome. What is that noise?
Laughing so hard. It was awesome.
But like most really good Community episodes, they had a good concept and it was well executed, but yes, it was also kind of had heart. Because at the end, which is...
They all worked together.
Esposito from Breaking Bad, his brother, and I was like, oh, that was actually really good.
Yeah, it was like, he's like, just because you're half, he's like, you're just half black, or wait, he goes, well, wait, what does that make the other half? Like, he had to, like, think about it. And the fact that, yeah, they'd rather just be brothers.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was pretty good.
That was really good, and the Britta making the potion.
Oh, right!
And then she gets killed, and they're like, and then... Zero character takes it and it completely messes him up.
It's like way to Brit it.
Right. I'm just gonna put this stuff together. And it was so great the way Abed would, like, it's totally like those old Zelda games. You're hitting like the B button, the mini menu comes up, but he's going through all the options so fast.
Right.
Oh, and then Abed finds that girl.
Yeah, he creates a castle, right?
Right, yeah. First they kill her whole family. Right. Yeah. Well, first they get to hide the body. Then the wife comes in. And I'm going to show you my family. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah. I'm just, I'm sorry, I'm not even talking. I'm just
that
laughing.
Was so
that was
funny.
So
yeah,
funny.
That was hilarious.
Oh, man. They were like, oh, I want you to meet my family. Oh, you can't go in there. Oh, look at that mysterious fire. Like, what? And but I like that they left. He's like, oh, I'm going to stay here with my new wife. And then they're all destroyed, and they come back through the village, and he's like made a castle. Like, and with a million Abed babies.
Oh, we're talking about cool. Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, that was awesome. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, and so that's how they win the game with all the Abed babies. Because right. He's like, I can make anything with my Abed babies. Oh,
so
man.
That's clearly the best episode of the night.
Yes,
yeah.
That was so funny. And the second one with Chang was okay.
Well, they had to finish the story. So right. It was all right. It was okay. There's not really, I don't have as much to say. I like the next episode, but the Chang one... I'm trying to think what
only thing is they again made
they saved the dean.
They saved the dean.
That's true.
Yes.
They saved the dean.
And for some reason the school is a rave at night, and so they had a rave party at the end, which was strange.
Right, and they have the thing where their plan was foiled, but it was supposed to be foiled.
Oh, right.
But then they didn't realize that it gets foiled again. And so that was pretty funny.
Well, because it's the whole what are those?
Ocean's 11.
They always they were doing it in Ocean's 11 where they were putting that into the heist thing. They put that as part of the plan, and then it gets foiled yet one more time. That was pretty good. And then the third one was.
I thought was pretty good. The third one was all about Troy and the.
Evil Troy.
The evil.
No, Evil Abed.
Well, Evil Abed and the fact that there's the
air conditioning
thing.
Yeah.
John Goodman. Dies in 2 seconds. I was like, wait, he's dead? What's going on? Like, but the Evil Abed thing, the whole conversation with Britta, the way just he tears her down was really hilarious.
Well,
and
we already know that he's can get in people's heads.
Right, so that was really good. And then, I thought it was really...
I thought it was silly him trying to cut off, what's his name?
Jeff's
arm.
But he can't because the plug's not long enough.
Really, come on, that's...
No,
that
I know, but I mean, yeah, I go, it's silly. But the big thing to me, though, was, which leads to the Dan Harmon thing, was... I thought that the end, because they didn't know if they were going to be renewed, that pretty much feels like the end of the show.
That's true.
Because they do the song that's sung in this, like, a cappella, which is the theme song, and you're basically seeing the montage of all the characters throughout the school and everything, and I was like, and then you see that the guy's not dead.
Right,
Starburst, who's one of the writers of the show, so that was...
Well,
that
it was great, yeah, his disguise is a wig, but he still had his Starburst.
Right. So I was like, okay, that's a pretty good way to end the show, and then once I heard about Dan Harmon, I'm like... All right, so it's a 3-season show. So I was like, but yeah, so I really like Community. So,
yeah,
but yes, the video game one was, yeah, that was
by
awesome.
Far.
Yeah.
I was like laughing so hard I was on the
I'm
going
to rewatch that soon.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Yep. All right. Susie, you have something real quick?
I was just going to say total thumbs up. I thought all three of them were good just because they were in succession, and so that helped kind of even them out. I think if they had been separated by weeks, then we probably would have been like, what the hell? But the thing that's weird about it is, why did we have all three episodes?
Because...
Like, was the season cut short by time?
Well, they took the show off the air for a while.
Yeah,
Oh, that's right.
All right, so next up, let's talk about 30 Rock. And this was the first time in a while that I've actually laughed at a 30 Rock episode.
What made you laugh? I mean, was there a specific scene?
It was the wedding. It was the whole... Like, my favorite thing was when Jack is talking about he's renewing his vows, and he's got his wife and his mother-in-law in the room, and Liz is in the room, and it's, like, really uncomfortable. Like, they both walked into the room at the same time, and Liz is like, I really don't want to be here. And she goes, stop, drop, and roll. And she rolls out of the room. I was like, that's great. And then they talk about, I won't quit, I don't even quit. I was like, I'm still watching Smash. And I was like,
yeah, that
funny.
Was funny. I did
and
like
then
that.
They were like, let's go home and watch Downton Abbey together. Like,
oh, that was good too.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yeah,
they had like all that stuff was pretty good. And then when you finally get to the wedding and everybody's talking about how they're going to break the wedding up.
Oh, wait. I also liked the character that you don't like, that she's basically the page.
Right.
Oh, I don't like her either.
I like that actress. I think the character's okay, but I like the actress. But she's got that one line where Jenna is talking to her, and she says something like, I'm a natural blonde. And she's like, that's just horrible. Like, why would anybody do that? So like, that was pretty funny. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then Kenneth hooks up with her?
That was bizarre.
Was that real?
No.
Was that a scam?
Well, it's a scam because she wants to stay in the apartment.
Well, as she's saying at the end that it originally was a scam, but now I love you.
I don't believe it's a scam. I don't believe it either. What are you talking about? Of course it's a scam.
Because we've never had Kenneth have a love interest.
Well, we also have the feeling that Kenneth is 1,000 years old. Like, so that's...
Wait, what?
Every time Kenneth is always talking about how old he is, and it's insane how old he is. You don't remember that? He's always throwing off random comments about stuff that happened when he was a child, but it's like 200 years ago. You know? So, like, you get the impression that he's really old. So it's strange.
Interesting. But, all right.
You haven't noticed it. They do that every week.
I don't know. I didn't notice that.
But anyway, the other thing is at the wedding, everybody's talking about how they're going to, like, oh, so are you going to do that part where you say if anybody can say
oh,
anything?
Oh, right.
Right, so there's like three people that look like they're going to break up the wedding. And then one person passes out drunk. And then the other one, his girlfriend shows up and he can't say anything, and that was pretty good. And so both of them are just like, are you kidding me? Someone say something. Have you seen us? Like, they actually break themselves up and turn it into a divorce, which I'm like, I don't think that's legal. She's like, I have the power to marry you. And that was just like, that was all pretty funny. So I actually hope that Jack ends up with the mother-in-law, because their chemistry was actually really good. Is that wrong?
That would be a little weird. I mean, I like both. I like Mary Steenburgen and Elizabeth Banks, but yeah, I think that would be kind
of
wrong.
Of all the episodes they've had so far this season, this was really good.
But it's been a spotty season.
True. All right. Next up, let's talk about, me. The Mentalist had its season finale. Are any of you guys watching The Mentalist?
I'm not, but I'm interested to see what they've done with it, so go ahead.
Okay. So this season finale knocked my socks off. I was actually really, really afraid, because normally the season finale from last season was incredible. They did something that I was like, holy crap. You know, it was a great finale. And I was like, how the heck are they going to top that? And this season, in last week's episode, they basically had Jane pretty much go insane. He totally just went off and tried to kill somebody. And then this week... It ends with him being fired last week, so he's not working for the CBI anymore. So this week...
But you said you thought that was kind of a setup anyway, right?
Yeah, I knew it was a setup, but I was terrified of where this was going. I was like, this could really be bad. However, I should not have doubted the Mentalist writers, because it was awesome. So they did something where it's like the finale starts off and it's like 6 months later. I was like, seriously? Like, that felt like the beginning of a new season, that they would jump 6 months. But they jumped 6 months between when he's fired to now, because they wanted to show his spiral, to make it believable that he's spiraled completely out of control and he's down to no money, and he's wearing his suits are all wrinkled, and he's gone back to his old ways where he's scamming people. He's been waiting for Red John to contact him, because his whole thing is that Red John wants him to become his disciple, or else Red John would have killed him by now. So Red John, basically, he wants the whole thing to twist to where Jane is his follower. So Jane wants to make it believable. And he hooks up with some girl that he's pretty sure worked for Red John, and that's all pretty good. But the best part was when he has to contact the team. Like, once he gets contact with Red John, he needs the CBI backup, because he's not a fighter. That's the thing about Jane. Sure. He doesn't fight. If there's a fight, he's like, I will be over here.
Yeah.
So he has to contact Lisbon and all that, and everybody's all mad at him because he's been gone for so long. And Lisbon, they did something interesting with the whole relationship thing, in that the whole time he's been gone, Lisbon hasn't been able to sleep because she's been worried about him. And you really get the feeling that the way the writers are writing it is that Lisbon's totally in love with him, but knows that it's a really bad mistake. And he is aware of it, but he's not really sure where he's at. So it was really kind of interesting. And they did this whole fake out where he's supposed to, because Red John's like, to prove your loyalty, I want you to bring me Lisbon's head.
Oh.
So he does this whole thing where he has to fake it to kill her. And so he does like, okay, let's go. And he goes, love you. And then he shoots. And so later, but of course he doesn't really kill her. So later on they're talking. She was like, so what was about that thing you said earlier? You know, the whole I love you thing. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? Don't know what you're talking about. Like, he tries to play it off. I'm like, come on, man. Like, but it had little shippy moments too, where like at the very end when everything gets resolved and they kill off some of Red John's people and the whole thing kind of comes together, they end up like, he's kind of panicked and high on adrenaline, and he reaches out and just grabs her hand, and they're just holding hands in the desert. And I was just like, aw. So I'm not sure if they're going to fully do the whole relationship thing with them, because he's so damaged, but I'm intrigued. So And the Red John thing got more intriguing, too, even though I knew they weren't going to really catch him at the end of this episode. Yeah. But it was still good. They ended up killing off another. Somebody said that the head of CBI is, like, the head of the dark arts on Harry Potter. Because, like, every movie, the guy gets killed, right? Isn't that how that works? Nice. Because,
so did you get it in this one?
Oh, yeah. The head of CBI is killed. I was like, okay. Wow. They went through him again. All right. But it was good. It was a really good episode. It leaves... The episode ends with them capturing one of Red John's people. And normally Red John kills anyone of his people that gets captured. But Jane is like, he's basically like, he's going to break her and get the information he wants. And she's like, no, you know it. I'll never tell you. I'll never tell. And he's like, it's funny that you think so now. You won't think so later. And so that's going to be the beginning of apparently it's going to be a 5-episode arc of next season. So
well,
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're mentioning how... You know, they did the thing with Lisbon, not being able to sleep. So obviously she's worried about him. You kind of get the feeling that there's something there and that he probably acknowledges it or knows it's there. And I'm wondering, though, because it's seeing how, you know, of course, we know Bones, you know, made it happen between Booth and Brennan. We know now that on Castle, you know, that's you know, you can't avoid that inevitability now. So I'm wondering if the writers and creators on Mentalist are thinking, you know, they've been playing with this for a few years because I did watch the first 2 years, actually. I wonder if they're playing with that and seeing how it's potential. It's possible with these other series, so maybe that is where they plan to go next season with it.
We'll see. I'm excited about the new season because it looks awesome. All right, next up, I want to talk about Scandal. Am I talking about this again by myself? Crickets.
Probably.
The one thing I will say is the finale was made of awesome. This was a really good finale. The ratings went up double digits for the finale, so that's good. It got renewed. I'm really happy about that. The White House stuff was fantastic. Like, I love that the whole big thing is you find out that the chief of staff of the vice president has been the one orchestrating all the scandal that's been going on as far as the White House, because he's been trying to get the president impeached so that the vice president can take over. That's his whole game plan. So the whole thing really works because everything is about figuring out, because basically Olivia Pope drops everything she's doing. She goes to the White House and it's all about trying to spin this whole sex scandal and figure out, because the chief of staff gets on the news and starts telling everybody he slept with an intern and got her pregnant, but the president also took advantage of her, slept with her, and he doesn't know. He's like, he feels like he should be accountable for sleeping with her as well. And then she committed suicide. All those things are true, but he left out important things. But now there's this huge scandal in the news about the president sleeping with some intern. So then Olivia Pope has to figure it out, wrap it up, and all that. So all that stuff is really good. And I have to say, the first lady came off. She's super evil, but she's awesomely evil.
Like, who's the actress?
I don't know her name. But she was one of those villains you love to hate. Like, you're just like, wow, she is great. Because her whole thing was... She knew that Olivia Pope was sleeping with the president, and she was fine with that. She was like, I do my job, you do yours, you keep Fitz happy, I run the White House. She's like, everything was good, and she's like, and then you left. And you left him, and then he was distracted, he couldn't do his job, he couldn't concentrate, and then you let him sleep with that intern. That was not, your job was to make sure he didn't sleep with any interns. Like, she was like, the first lady was going off on Olivia Pope, it was great. Huh. And Olivia Pope's, her mouth, her jaw was just on the ground. She's like, not only did the first lady know they were sleeping together, but she expected that is her job and her duty. So now the first lady's like, all right, you fell down on the job. You let him sleep with some intern, and you've left the White House. Therefore, I want my husband back. You're not allowed to sleep with him anymore. Like, that was pretty much what she was like, whoa. Like, that whole conversation was great. And the whole scandal wrap-up, they actually did some really cool spin doctoring. The only thing I have to say is everything wrapped up, I thought, really, really well, except for you find out the new chick that was added to the crew that we've been watching from the beginning, and she was the one that was sleeping with the reporter. You find out her identity is not who we think it is, and she's actually wanted by the police for something that we don't know about, and that's the cliffhanger. It's like, oh my God, who is she? And then it cuts to black, and I'm like, I don't care. Next up, let's talk about Magic City. This was the one where the whole blackmail came
finally came to a head. I think the two sons kind of switched brains, because I've been thinking up to now, you know, that the younger son was really kind of slow. And in this episode, really, the older son was just behaving like a complete idiot through the entire episode. And it was the younger one that really kind of saved his butt for most of the episode, really kind of shook him back into reality. And went, what were you thinking?
Well, I don't think that they switched brains. I've always thought that the older one wasn't that bright, or else he wouldn't have been sleeping with that woman in the first place.
Well, he's you know, clearly living life dangerously and making stupid choices. Taking the pictures in the first place was an idiotic move. Keeping them was spectacularly stupid. But, you know, the younger son, he seems to behave like he doesn't seem to know what his family does for a living.
I know.
You know? He's like one of the Kennedys, kid. You know? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, his whole thing, yeah, he wants to work for the district attorney. And his father's like, that's a bad idea. It's like, yeah, because half the stuff his father does is illegal.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's not like he's using his son like an inside spy, which would make sense.
Right.
His son acts like he doesn't seem to know really what's going on and could get his father into even more trouble.
Well, the thing is, he does know, because he keeps saying, I'm not like you guys. I'm not like you guys. So he knows that they're all criminals. But he thinks that the district attorney wants him for his own merits, and I think his father should just tell
him. Which is ridiculous.
Right. Well, I think his father should just tell him. Like, his father tried to hint at him that that's mm-hmm. not why they want you. But I think his father should be like, look, I'm under investigation. They want you as an inside source.
Mm-hmm.
But his son thinks that, oh, I'm really a good lawyer. They want me because I'm a good lawyer. I'm like, no, dude.
I like the way that they, you know, pull the various threads together. I loved how they, you know, they brought him in to take a look at the car and did the whole threatening thing.
Well, they were right. They're like, you're in between a rock and a hard place. The butcher's the butcher's gonna kill you, and you've got the police coming at you from the other end, so you gotta pick a side.
Yeah, and the scenes with the butcher were absolutely terrifying.
Oh, I know. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I gave him super credit, because he's sitting in that chair totally looking emotionless, terrified out of his mind.
Yeah,
like,
because you know he's sitting across from a psychopath.
Right, and he has no idea what this guy's going to do. He's like, he could decide to kill him right now, in the middle of his own party, you know? Like, and I don't understand why he used all that money to do other things. I was like, are you an idiot? Like, but I got a guy, like, he was actually trying to use the money to screw the guy so the guy would leave. So I kind of get it, but it was stupid.
It really was, because he's trying to outmaneuver him, and you just can't do that with somebody that dangerous.
Right.
And he almost got his own sons killed, as we realized. You know, the whole time that he's thinking maybe he's gonna put a bullet in my brain, and what he's really got is one of his own guys sitting in his bar at the playa
to put a bullet in
pop his sons.
Right.
If he doesn't come back with the money. And I mean, that scene is absolutely chilling when you realize that phone call, you know, was to his guy at the playa, and you know, he just goes to the bar and tips him and goes, you know, you're lucky.
And they don't
don't get it at all, but the audience just suddenly realizes, oh my God.
But the good thing is, one other thing I want to mention is the sister-in-law who gave him the money. Like, I actually really like the tension going on between the two of them. I was like, wait a minute, there's something going on here? Like, I do like that. Because I think the sister-in-law has a thing for him, definitely. Because every time he hugs her, she looks like she's about to melt, you know? So,
They have a very complicated relationship.
I can tell. And I kind of, and as much as I do like his wife, I kind of feel like she's super naive and just, like, I don't know. And then the daughter,
well, he keeps her out of most things. She really does not have a whole picture of what's going on.
She has a clue, but I also think that the daughter, she's the only child actress that I've really disliked other than, like, Joffrey. Like, I really dislike. She's, like, 7, and I really don't like her. She's older than 7. Because she's so mean to the wife.
Yeah, she just had a bat mitzvah, so she's 13.
Yeah, but she's so mean to her stepmother. Like, it's uncalled for, you know?
Well, she just keeps going on how she, you know, she lost her mother and she refuses to accept this new woman as her stepmother.
Yeah, but just the
cruel
thing.
She refuses to move on.
But the thing is, I kind of feel like the dad should say something to her, because this is, it's out of hand. I really think it's out of hand. But anyway, done.
But,
okay, we're done.
And the how he finally, they resolve the blackmail I thought that it was good, but I also thought, you know, he really played a dangerous game.
Exactly.
If they had stopped to have a conversation with that guy,
it would have been over.
He would have been dead.
Yeah. I thought that was the stupidest thing he's ever done. I was like, sending the butcher to kill the guy that has the blackmail information on you about the butcher? I was like, are you insane?
Right, because if they had stopped and said anything to him, or if they had decided to, which I can't believe they didn't do, rifle through his things to find, like, the money he took, you know, they would have found the pictures.
Right. I know. Anyway, he just was lucky. Anyway, let's move on. Magic City, it's got one more episode, so we'll talk about it next week, hopefully. Next up,
I think it's off for about 2 weeks before it comes back for its finale.
Okay. Next up, let's talk about Tron Uprising. And if you guys have been going to our website, you'll see that I have interviews with the cast on Wheatonopolis. I will also be putting out a podcast with the audio of all those interviews, but first, let's talk about the actual episode. It's called Beck's Beginning. It was pretty good. Like, who else saw it other than me?
It's beautifully animated. You could really see that they spent a lot of time on the animation and the design, and it was beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I thought that the animation was great, and all the voices, they got Bruce Boxleitner to be Tron, and they got Elijah Wood to be Beck, who is the main character, and everybody else is like this all-star cast. It's pretty good. I think if you haven't seen it, you should definitely see this on Disney.
Free right now on iTunes.
Are there half-hour episodes?
Yeah, they're half-hour episodes. Okay. And it basically takes place between the first movie and the last movie, and it's right when Clue takes over, and it shows a different city, because normally we're seeing Tron City, but this is in another city. And you're getting to see Beck basically thinks that, because everybody says that Tron is dead, and Beck basically thinks that the people need a hero, so he pretends to be Tron. Think of it as Batman Beyond. It's basically the same concept.
Well, I like Batman Beyond.
It's very similar, yeah.
It's very similar concept. So he tries to basically be Tron and kind of fakes it, and then he runs into the real Tron, and Tron is like, all right, I will train you.
Cool. It's got a great voice cast, that's for sure. They even have Jeff Bridges, although he's uncredited in the cast.
Doing Clue? Cool. He must be doing Clue.
He did, but he's not credited. So I don't know if he's going to be coming in for subsequent episodes, but he was there at the beginning.
Mainly the villain is General Tesla. Anyway, the storyline is pretty good, but the whole thing is it's basically all the other programs rising up against Clue. That's kind of where we're going. So I thought it was pretty good. You guys check it out. Disney Channel. All right. Next up, let's talk about Grimm. Go, Susie.
Okay. Well, this was the season finale, and they had kind of promised us for a couple weeks now, you know, leading into it, that, you know, we'll get a bunch of answers for things, you know, and we even thought maybe, you know, after what happened last week and seeing the previews for this week, that we were going to get a lot of answers, you know, who would find out what. There really was not a lot of discussion leading up to this infamous lady in black or this woman in black. So watching this, I was thinking, okay, you know, if nothing else, they may not touch on the Hank issue, you know, and how much Hank knows, but they did happily at least discuss the fact that he's really been screwed up by what he saw, saw the changing of the blue bot. So they at least addressed the fact that he's having a hard time dealing with it. So I'm sure going into the second season, they'll have to bring that into the forefront. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, him sitting there with his shotgun in the dark was like...
Oh, yeah, like the way to fade out on him on that was great. And just the fact that, you know, he was waking up at night, you know, and freaking out thinking that he's seeing this. And, you know, so obviously it's totally impacted him, and he's not going to go like, oh, maybe I was just imagining things. So that's cool. And the fact that when Nick was talking to Monroe, you know, they were able to discuss that too. And Monroe was basically telling Nick, like, hey, dude, he looked really freaked out when he saw me, you know, so if he's having trouble sleeping or if he seems a bit off right now, you know, you might have to do something, you know, give him time, but, you know, you're going to have to probably deal with him. So that was really good how they handled the whole Hank thing. But then they really didn't go anywhere else with that, just left it. And then with, I like what they did with Juliet, you know, and the fact that, you know, he's bringing her in. I saw it coming a mile away that she was going to, in the trailer, while he was getting more and more excited about telling her all this stuff.
He sounded more and more crazy.
Yeah, he sounded more and more crazy because that was obviously what was going to happen. But then I did think, okay, great, he's going to take him to Monroe. And I was really happy. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. What is her reaction going to be when she sees Monroe change? And then she passes out. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like them for that or if I hate them for
I'm going to go with the hate them for that.
Okay,
I thought that
was... I was debating. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, come on.
Yeah, that was a cheat. That was totally
a cheat.
Because
then, of course, when she does wake up, because she will, you know, she won't remember. It'll be part of the blur. She won't remember anything, you know? So yeah. I'll be like, oh, great.
I think I'm angry at the show because I kind of feel like I've seen this with Buffy and I've seen this with all these other shows mm-hmm. where the main character has a secret identity
yes.
and he's got his little crew. But the people closest to him don't know who or what he is, and we've seen that play out, and it's boring.
Right, the different ways they try to get them in and try to clue them in. So yeah, so I was like, all right, this was the way they wanted to handle it. So that was.
Well, that's part of my issue with the show. Yeah. I mean, you say it's your favorite new show, but I can't get on board with that because they're doing such obvious things.
I think for one season, I think I'm okay with them having him try to hide this whole thing and figure out who he is, kind of on his own. You know, with Monroe and some other help, but then season two, I want to see them. Yeah, kind of.
I don't really feel like they're. I don't think that's where they're going though. I feel like this show is the lowest common denominator in that regard, and that irritates me. But anyway, let's wrap this up. We got to talk about one more show, which is the season finale of Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. And you say you really liked this.
It's weird because it was a slow build episode where.
Yeah.
I kind of was like. Okay, when are we going to go storm the castle? Like, you know, like they were already, and they did something with the whole Bobby thing that I thought was cheap.
Yeah, how so?
Because we went through an entire episode with the whole Bobby dying thing where they pulled on our heartstrings and we all cried like babies, you know?
Yeah.
So for them to then be like, oh, but now Bobby's a ghost. So that's all fine.
It's always like been a ghost all season.
Not all season, like the second half of the season, because he doesn't die till midway.
They dropped hints that he'd been a ghost all season, and then they finally confirmed it about halfway.
Was the actor on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was on the in the last few episodes. He's been on the show, and I was fine with Bobby being a ghost, but then they started making him a vengeful ghost, and I was like, "You've got to be kidding me."
Yeah,
like, you cannot
that's where
take.
Going to go though.
Well, I knew that's where
it's
it was
like they came up with the concept and then they suddenly realized, you know what? I don't know what to do with this.
Right. It was like the whole vengeful part very much felt like we now need to get rid of him. Like they thought that having Bobby as a ghost as a sidekick would be a great idea, but then they were like, oh, never mind. Now we need to get rid of him. So they spend two episodes making him vengeful, and then the boys have to then. Burns.
I didn't feel that way though. I know
really
at the beginning that's what they were saying is, you know, Bobby, why are you here? Why did you ignore your Reaper? Why did you stay? Because you know what happens.
Right.
You know, vengeful ghosts. This will
I
happen.
I felt like
to
it
you.
Was, but I felt like it was a waste, and I also felt like Bobby should have known better. He's been.
He should have. I totally agree to that.
And then when they finally do have the scene where they burn the whatever, and Bobby really goes away.
It felt like nothing
because I was actually angry because I was like, I refuse to cry for Bobby again. I'm not going to do it. And I know that was what the writers are trying
to
get.
Well, but also, you know, it felt like we had just been built up and built up and built up for something that went absolutely nowhere.
Right.
Because, I mean, I figured if they're going to keep him around, if he's going to be a ghost, it's going to be so he can be there for the big finale so he can help take out Dick.
Exactly.
And
that's
when
not what happens.
When it comes to taking out Dick, he's
nowhere there.
Yeah, because he actually dies before that happens. And I kind of was like, really?
What was that about?
Exactly. I felt like it was a complete waste of my time other than, hey, let's be able to kill Bobby twice and make the audience, you know, care. I was like, no, I refuse. Like, I am not.
Dick. Bad guy's called Dick.
Yeah,
really?
That's his name. And there are 5,000 jokes. There are 5,000 Dick jokes in the episode. Like, really? All right. But he's a nice smarmy villain and it's all fine. And it was like 45 minutes in the episode, they haven't stormed the castle yet. And I was like, what the heck? So, but for the last 15 minutes, it was actually pretty good. Cause then they break out the car and I was like, thank you. God. I didn't realize how much I missed that car.
Until it rolled around.
What are they driving around in?
Just like Pintos, like crappy cars, like all
everything
kinds of just.
That's a signature
stuff.
Of the show. Is that
I
car?
Know.
Like,
and it was really disconcerting not to have the car. So when they finally pulled the car out, I was like, thank you. And it was just like, it just made me happy for just like the 30 seconds they had all the beauty shots.
Until it crashed into the sign.
Right, until it crashed into the sign. It's like, oh. But Then the big battle happened, and the big battle was okay and everything, and it pretty much went the way you expected. And Crowley screwed everyone, which I thought was fantastic and very much fit
Crowley.
Yeah. Okay. What was great about it? What was great about it is somebody wrote in a post somewhere that they were like, the reason that Crowley double crossed everybody was because he didn't just want Canada. He wanted a because Dick was like, oh, you can have all of Canada, and we'll take everything else.
Yeah.
And then it was like, because Crowley didn't just want Canada, he then double crossed everybody. So they were like, so blame Canada, which I thought was great. I was like, that's pretty funny. But yeah, the whole Crowley double cross, because now that the Leviathans are defeated, that means that Crowley now controls like everything. So, and then that last shot where they show Sam just by himself, because they've taken everybody. So it's just Sam alone. That was a great isolated, like, because Crowley, too, like, rubbed his nose and is like, yeah, you're by yourself. You got no Bobby. You got no Angel. You got nobody to back you up. You're just alone. What are you going to do? And then he just, like, poof and goes away. And Sam just was like, holy crap. And I was like, well, you got the car. But
where's Dean?
That is the final shot where I thought, holy crap, this show could be awesome. Where the whole thing about the Leviathans, they destroy the Leviathans, but in its dying, Dean and Cass get sent to purgatory. So they're stuck in purgatory and they have no way out. And I was like, holy crap. Like, and
although,
they
didn't it seem weird to you that, you know, as Dick is in his death throes and those little waves of energy come off of him, didn't you wonder why they're just standing there?
I think they should have made that faster.
They should have been running like their asses were on fire, and instead they're just standing.
Because he had
like,
that
they've
smile
never
on his
done
face.
This in 7 years of this show.
Yeah, well, I did. He had a smile on his face, like he knew something was going to happen. And
of
they're
course.
Like,
and he's got an evil grin and sending out waves of energy. Instead, they're just standing there like deer in the headlights.
The last shot is like these freaking monsters with
glowing red eyes
surrounding Dean. And it was so funny because Cass is like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And then Dean wakes up. He's like, what the heck? And he explains it to him. And him and Cass are standing there like, holy crap, what are we going to do? And he looks back and Cass is gone. So he's just standing there by
Where
himself.
Cass go?
We don't know. But Cass didn't really leave. I don't think. Cass did that thing where he flies really fast to find out where the heck the safe place is, I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back in
the first couple of shots. Yeah, and he'll grab Dean and then they'll be at least in hiding because they have to figure out a way to break out of purgatory. I was like,
exactly.
Holy crap.
I think I was more impressed with Sam being alone and how sad Puppy looked.
He did look like a kid puppy.
Just you.
For me, it just wasn't that great an episode. I just I didn't feel any real sense of tension. I didn't think that there was anything really, you know, on
there
the line.
There was no, like, edge or you weren't, like, really...
No.
So
I'm just hoping for better next year because next year is the last season. So hopefully there'll be a sense of urgency that returns to the show.
Well, yes, I agree. All right, so wrapping up, that's it. And if you want to send any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, and Weedonopolis, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye. Bye.